Hey everyone, hi, happy Friday, it's Jen. I have probably one of the most requested interviews I've ever had coming at you right now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Fat Mascara is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. Plus, it can help you develop coping skills that make your life easier. I will give you an example. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you've probably heard me say it to Jess or to a guest, reframe. Well, I learned that technique from a therapist. Here's an example. Now that I'm a freelance writer and podcaster, I get lonely working from home and I feel like I'm never going to get to collaborate on projects again. And that's the truth. Reframe, I get to choose which projects I work on, so I'm in control of what I work on, and if I want to collaborate more with others, I don't have to ask anyone's permission. I can just do it. See what I did there? That's reframing. If you've been thinking about starting therapy or are looking for someone to help you process things and give you coping skills, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/mascara today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/mascara. Again, betterhelp.com/mascara. Hey everyone, it's Jen, and I have decided this is going to be the summer of uniform dressing. I'm going to have a few pieces on heavy rotation, and I'm telling you right now, they're all going to be linen, and they're all going to be from Quince. I don't know why I'm going so hard on linen right now, but it just feels right. And Quince specializes in timeless pieces made of premium fabric, and the best part is that all the Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. I am personally very into the 100% European linen pants. They're cropped and easy. There's even a cute pinstriped version. And when I wear them, I look like I just stepped off a yacht. Do I have a yacht? No. Do I know what yachters wear? No, but that's the vibe. The linen pants come in sizes extra small to 3X, and they're less than $40. Okay, like 10 cents less. They're $39.90. But the quality is excellent, and they wash really well. How does Quince do it? They cut out the cost of the middleman and pass the savings on to us. Plus, Quince works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/fatmascara for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com, Q-U-I-N-C-E, quince.com/fatmascara to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/fatmascara. You guys have been messaging us for years. You want to know about pregnancy-safe skincare. And it's hard to talk about with dermatologists because they always say, talk to your OBGYN, but then OBGYNs don't know a lot about beauty. And I've just been like, who's the person to talk about this? And then I met Dr. Shiva Gofrani, and she's perfect for this. She practices obstetrics and gynecology in Stamford, Connecticut. Oh my gosh, that sounds so weird and formal. I don't think I've ever said the full name of those specialties. She's an OBGYN, but not just any OBGYN. She also studied integrative medicine, which she incorporates into her practice. Plus, she loves skincare, as you'll hear. And she was an ovarian cancer patient. She's a mother of three. So she has personal experience with a lot of what we will be talking about today, which is how hormones can affect your skin and appearance. So heads up going into this one, we will indeed acknowledge all parts of a woman's body, top to bottom, front to back. So if you are listening, like in a car with someone who doesn't want to learn about that, or a kid or a partner who will be asking questions you are not in the mood to answer, just know going in that that is what this episode is about. Like I said, the main thing we will be talking about is a much requested topic: what skincare is safe to use when you're pregnant. However, That's just one phase of some women's lives that affects their appearance. So we'll be talking about other things like puberty, perimenopause, menopause, and how that affects your skin and hair as well. My favorite thing about Dr. Gofrani is that she has opinions, but she is not judgmental, and she respects all people's choices they make about their appearance and their health. So I think she's the perfect person to hang out with us, discuss this topic, and get into it in the Fat Mascara studio. So let's welcome Dr. Shiva Gofrani. Dr. Gofrani, welcome to Fat Mascara.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
I already warned everyone that this is like I did it NPR style. This episode acknowledges genitalia, hormones, sex. So we're just going to get right into it. And I knew we were going to get along because we met at a dinner for the skincare brand Emmapel, and you started quizzing all the women on their anatomy. And I was like, I love people who are not embarrassed to talk about bodies. Were you always like this?
No, of course not. When I was young, I was like most young girls who were like, I don't want to talk about it in front of everyone. And then, you know, you become a gynecologist. There's nothing is TMI, I always say. Nothing is TMI. Also, our family talked a lot of things very openly, but amongst our family. I wouldn't have gone out there publicly, but now I have to. And I feel like we shouldn't be so embarrassed. 51% of the world has a vagina and vulva. So why are we embarrassed about talking about it? In addition to 51% of the world bleeds out of their vagina. So we should not be embarrassed talking about it.
And we are not going to be on this particular podcast because I've been getting requests for this one. Before we get into it, I have to ask then, if you weren't always so comfortable talking about this, how did you end up becoming a gynecologist?
Well, Jen, it was a long and winding road. All joking aside, I came from two doctors. My parents are both doctors. They came from Iran. I did not want to be a doctor because it looked like really hard work and frankly, kind of exhausting and gross. And so I got all the way through college without doing any pre-meds. When I graduated from college, like maybe 4 months before, I recognized that I didn't know what I was going to do. And like most Persian families, that was not very acceptable. So I decided to do pre-meds, intending to do pediatrics or general surgery because that's what I knew from my parents. And I really genuinely thought gynecology was gross, which is crazy. And then during my medical school rotations, my OBGYN rotation was truly tremendous. The mentors were great. And I really recognized that I got to be a surgeon and a primary care doctor if I did OBGYN. And that's why I went into it. It wasn't necessarily like because I honored women and wanted to take care of women. Now that's how I feel about it. But that wasn't the intention, which is really fascinating when you think of like why we ask young children or teenagers, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I don't know how most people make that decision because I think it's very hard. So I kind of fell into it in a haphazard way. And I'm so deeply grateful because I really love it. And as it turns, I had always been very independent. Our family was always very open-minded, very talkative, very liberal-minded. And my mother was like an original feminist. So that was always my direction, but that was not why I wanted to go into gynecology. So I trickled in and here I am.
Well, now we can honor women. You've come full circle. Now you have all of those skills. You're a surgeon, you're a doctor, you're like a therapist too. I feel like gynecologists have to be a little bit of a therapist, right?
Absolutely. I think that's what we like so much is that we get to, we get to engage every day with women and talk to them about all of their issues and help them, which is fun. I learn so much every day.
Yeah, even a little bit of a dermatologist, which we're going to get into, because I have to be honest, I told you why I wanted to do this podcast. It's not what the whole podcast is about, but I have gotten so many questions from people about what skincare is safe to use while you're pregnant. And I know we're going to get into that, but I think we kind of have to like back up and start more basic for this, for how hormones affect the way you look and what are hormones?
I mean, hormones are messengers in our body that tell different cells, different tissues, how to behave and what to do. That's kind of the easiest way I can describe hormones. Because we need to talk about why is it so different to be assigned female versus assigned male.
I was just going to say, women born with uteruses, like what are the hormones that are going to play a big role throughout their lives and with how they look? Because this is a beauty podcast.
Right. Well, and this is what's fascinating that most people don't know, including gynecologists. Many of us don't realize that we traditionally will call testosterone the male hormone. I'm putting air quotes for anyone who's watching. And if you're not and you're listening, I'm putting air quotes around male hormone, and we say estrogen is a female hormone, quote unquote. And that is actually inaccurate, meaning people who are assigned male at birth also have some estrogen, and people who are assigned female at birth actually have more testosterone than we do estrogen. Do you know that?
I did, because you told me that.
Okay. So, and I was listening. Fascinating. And that's something that many of us as gynecologists, I have done this for 25 years, and I've only known that, I'd say, the last couple years. So that's one thing that people should know. Androgens, which is the class of hormones that testosterone is, androgens are actually where estrogens also come from. And so when you start going through puberty, you have more androgens on board. And that's why we get the acne, the growth of hair. We get a little schwitzy and stinkier. We're greasier and oilier. And that will happen to both boys and girls. But then, while boys kind of only have to go through that whole pubertal development, and then things kind of stay somewhat stable, for women, it's really different, right? We have to go through all of the pubertal changes. Then maybe we go through changes because of birth control. Then maybe we go through changes with our skin and hair because of pregnancy. Then maybe, for sure, we go through changes because of perimenopause and menopause. So we have so many different parts of our life.
A fun roller coaster.
Right? And just when you think you figured it out, boom, your hormones can change on their own or because of something you're doing, for example, birth control, and that can alter your hair and skin and nails. So it is a constant. And that's also what we're judged by as women. So it's a little bit of a double-edged sword, right? We're judged by our appearance, and yet our appearance is very much influenced by things that we can and cannot control.
Yeah. When you see a patient for gynecological care, like how often do they bring up skin or hair or concerns like that?
Often.
Like what are they concerned about? They just want a clean bill of health.
No, they don't. I mean, in other words, because first of all, we like to collaborate and we like to engage. We talk about all of it, but also a lot of it is truly medical, meaning outside of how we look and feel. Our skin in particular really reflects what's going on in our body sometimes, either hormonally or stress or nutritionally. So as you can guess, some of our young patients come to us, not because they need birth control for contraception's sake. They come to us first and foremost because of acne. Maybe because their pediatrician said, oh, you have a lot of acne. Instead of seeing a dermatologist, go see a gynecologist. Or their mother was our patient and she's like, can you just see my daughter? And we talk about acne or hair growth on their face or hair loss on their head. And that trifecta, where you get more acne, more hair growth on your face and less on your head, has to do with something called polycystic ovary syndrome that I'm sure you've heard about as someone who's in skincare and beauty, because it really affects our skin and our hair profoundly. And that is all mediated by, getting back to the hormones, androgen excess. So the androgen excess essentially means we have more testosterone in our system, and then it can affect that. So that's like the first way so many women come to us.
Is there a second? Keep going.
Well, and then there's pregnancy, right? During pregnancy, yeah. There's some really great changes, like you don't lose as much hair. So you end up having very thick hair at the end of pregnancy. But then, as you may know, in that next 6 to 12 weeks after you're done being pregnant, you might start to lose your hair.
Okay. We're going through the whole woman's life right now in a flash. I have to slow down and get us back to puberty before we get to pregnancy. Let's say we're in the onset of puberty. Everybody has hormonal changes. Maybe acne's happening. Why doesn't acne then go away once you have gone through puberty and you are now an adult?
Right. Because that's what I was alluding to, right? We have all these different things affecting us. So during puberty, it's the androgen excess. It's this excess of the sebum, right? You know sebum even better than I do. Sebum is that really beautiful, like oily substance that we need to be elastic and lubricated, but we get an excess of that. That's why we get, again, the oily skin, the acne, and we get stinky. So let's say you get through puberty and now you're like in your late teens, early 20s, and now you're in college. So what can affect your skin? Sometimes birth control pills. It can help your skin or it can make it worse. Sometimes the foods you're eating, because many dermatologists do agree and do believe that certain foods, whether it's things like dairy products, might affect our skin and acne. Stress can affect our skin and acne. And during college or during that stretch of time from like 18 to your mid 20s, you're going through a lot of period of stress. So that can affect our skin. And that's for both sexes, I would say, but the truth is it seems to affect us more as women, or at least our self-consciousness about it affects us more as women. And that happens. And then, again, you might decide that you want to embark on having babies. And that can affect your skin. So it's hard because you want to say to these young people, don't worry, you get through your teenage years, your acne is going to get better. And it might, but it might not. And we didn't even talk about perimenopause.
Oh, we're going to get into that later. We have like a whole woman's life to get through. But let's say we're in like our early 20s and just experience a normal menstrual cycle. Maybe we're not on birth control. That like monthly fluctuation, what surprising things have you noticed about how that affects someone's looks? The obvious one obviously being acne. Are there other ways that people's looks change throughout the month?
I mean, the surprise to me was that what we learned in medical school, right, or in residency, is that you get this fluctuation, you get a surge in the mid part where you ovulate, and then towards the end, right before your period, 2 weeks later, you might have some acne, you might be bloated, you might be hungrier, crampier, and a little bit more moody. But we hear all kinds of things. I mean, I hear people say things like, truly, their hair becomes like oil slick greasy at different times during their cycle. Certainly, they have more acne. Their sense of smell changes. So there are so many things about the cycle that surprise us because every woman might have slightly different complaints. And those are things that you don't always learn about, but you have to listen and kind of pattern recognize in order to say, God, I've heard enough women say this, that it's really true. This is what people are
experiencing. See, I wasn't going to say a complaint one, but like, I think, aren't we sexier when we're ovulating? I know some people feel sexier, but like, I feel like maybe TikTok is causing me to think this.
Yeah,
I saw some dumb TikTok.
Pheromones.
But like when you're when you're ovulating, that you look kind of more ready to go and sexy. I don't know. I feel like I look prettier when I'm ovulating. Is that a weird thing?
It's not a weird thing. I mean, if you think about, we don't know. Listen, do we know this? We don't know this. But it makes sense that why does one ovulate? The purpose of ovulation is to get pregnant. And the theoretical way that one would entice, like if we were still animals in the wild, how would we entice the other animal? Sometimes it's through pheromones, but humans apparently don't have the same pheromones that animals do. But sometimes, like, I forgot, what animal is it? Like, is it a baboon that like puts their butt up in the air that like looks enticing? So maybe we do look prettier.
A little flush to the cheeks, you know, that kind of thing.
I used to notice back when I had my period, and now I haven't had a uterus in 8 years, but my eyelashes behave differently at different times of my cycle. My mascara would go on differently at different times of my cycle.
Oh, that makes sense to me with the sebum thing.
Yes, because it's probably a little bit more lubrication or less. So again, there's so many aspects. I think if we really polled women, that would be an interesting thing for you to do with your people. Poll women and ask them, what do they notice very specifically is changing during their cycle with appearance, mood, smell, but things that are not so typical because we know all the common ones.
Now, if you're on birth control though, and that's modulating the hormone levels in your body, like would you not be experiencing those things as much?
You wouldn't be experiencing those things as much or at all because if you're on hormonal birth control that stops ovulation, like the traditional pill or the patch or the vaginal ring, different than the IUD. So those ones suppress ovulation and they even out your hormones. So yes, you wouldn't experience those for better or for worse. Sometimes your acne's really improved, which is great. Some pills will decrease hair growth on the chin, which is great. And they will decrease, obviously, other medical issues like cramps and the amount of bleeding and the period headaches that people get. But on the downside, some people notice that their skin gets worse, their acne gets worse, and things like mood. So anything that can get better on the pill can get worse for certain people. So it just depends. But yes, you won't experience those fluctuations.
And the long-term effects of being hormonally modulated, whether it's by a pill, an IUD, whatever, is there a negative side to that? Because you hear a lot of women say, like, I had a buildup of, like, I had to let out the hormones or I had to release the uterine lining because they haven't gotten a period in so long. There's these theories floating around of, like, you have to be a real woman and, like, really bleed with the moon. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, honey, you just brought up three different things. So I'm going to go backwards to forwards.
Okay.
Do I think that one needs to be like one with the moon and one with nature? I personally do not, nor I would say if anyone listening is being honest, if they are listening to this podcast, then they are in a state of not completely living a natural life. And therefore, I would say there's certain things that nature is wonderful at, others not so much. We would not be talking to each other if it were only for nature. The second thing you said about releasing your lining, not true. Meaning, if you are not getting your period, but it's not because you're on contraception like an IUD or a pill. In other words, if it's just in nature and you're not getting your period, then you either might not be building up a lining for certain hormonal reasons that we won't go into right now, or you might be building up too thick a lining. So that is a different entity. Yes, go see your doctor. If you're missing your period altogether, please go see your doctor. There are reasons why you should get your period and get your hormones checked. But if you are on the pill, on the patch, on the ring, or you have a hormone IUD and you are suppressing your ovulation or you're suppressing your period by using that hormone IUD, it really is safe. Now, are there negatives? Of course there are. I mean, my answer to everything is it depends, right? The pill, patch, ring, IUD is not right for everyone. And even in one woman, like you might love all those things for a couple of years and then your body changes and it no longer loves it. So I would never say blanket statement, they're all good or they're all bad. They are good for certain things, right? There's a trade-off with everything we do. So if you really don't want to get pregnant or you really don't want terrible pain during your period, things like that, are there ways to do this naturally? Yes, but they're much more cumbersome. And frankly, you have to kind of have a privileged life to be able to have the time to be able to do all those things that it would take to really map out your cycle and never have an unplanned pregnancy, for example. Right? I think that there is a lot, as you know, on the TikTok and on all the social media.
The TikTok. Yes. I had to bring it up for that reason. Let's say we get to a point in our life and you want to get pregnant. You want to try to get pregnant. You want to go off birth control. Let's talk about pregnancy a little bit. Why do dermatologists and skincare brands always say, talk to your doctor, talk to your OBGYN about what's safe to use on your skin during pregnancy? Like, why won't they tell us?
I'll give you like the snarky answer and then I'll give you the in their defense answer. The snarky answer, as we know, everybody wants to put off liability and it's very easy. I mean, dentists do it. Literally all of them do it, right? They all say like, oh, ask your doctor, ask your tea company, ask your doctor. Meanwhile, they know full well that we don't have more information than they do when it comes to these things because the majority of these things are never studied in pregnancy. You know, pregnant women do not get evaluated. This was really busted wide open during COVID, where everyone, the public, learned how little studies are done with pregnant women in mind. So every time we say this is safe, it's actually retrospective data. There's very little prospective data where we're taking thousands of pregnant women and saying, you try this, you don't try it, we'll see who does better. We're just looking back, like hair dye. We looked back on thousands and thousands of women. It's okay. There is not a higher risk of birth defects or problems with the pregnancy. Ergo, hair dye is fine, right? But that's all retrospective. And so the snarky answer is they want to cover their ass and they want to default to us. The honest answer is there really isn't data. So they can't quote the data.
Right. But we could do this kind of retrospective analysis, which obviously must have been done with something like Accutane, because you will tell me that you should not take that while you're pregnant.
Yes, I was going to say, the clear cut, do not take Accutane. The generic is called isotretinoin. And let me be very clear, that is an oral medication. And anyone who's ever seen the pills knows you have to like sign a contract saying you're not going to be pregnant, prove you're on birth control, and for good reason, each pill literally has a pregnant woman with an X through it because it really does cause birth defects. Very clear limb defects. We know that for sure. That is like the one absolute clear cut. You cannot take that pill. A lot of the other stuff, there's like pretty good data on certain antibiotics and things like that. But a lot of the other stuff we kind of categorize as maybe harm in incredibly high doses in animal studies, probably not in humans, or no harm in high doses or in animal studies. Therefore, probably it's okay, right? It's a lot of like, we think we're not sure. Look at the risks versus the benefits. And the retrospective data has been good. And that's the best we're going to get.
What about with something like the other big one we hear a lot is retinoids. Now, retinoids can be prescription, obviously, like a Retin-A tretinoin cream, or they could be over-the-counter retinol. Derms are like hesitant. They say, talk to your OBGYN. Why that? Why is that one like that?
And I will say this. I think that is all on the heels of the isotretinoin, the oral that we know for sure absolutely causes birth defects. So because of that, everyone's very bristly about the topical. And actually, this is interesting that we're bringing this up and I'll tie it in with something else in the later part of our lives in a second. But because of that, a lot of the retrospective data on topical retinoids that are either prescription or just over the counter shows very little harm. But all the articles will say, but it should be used with caution in pregnancy. So the minute they say that, everyone's like, all right, then don't use it. And the truth is, it's not necessary to use it in pregnancy, right?
But like Accutane and tretinoin, even though they have the word tret in them, like they are chemically related, they're not the same drug, right?
Well, they are the same. They're all vitamin A derivatives.
And so that's why it's that vitamin A, like, I don't know. And so that's what freaks people out.
Right. Because we know for a fact that isotretinoin orally is absolutely bad. For sure. That's a for sure. Everyone knows it. We're not covering our ass. Right. It is bad, right? So we've extrapolated that, like, well, but what if I tell the woman she could put a little bit on and then she puts on too much and then the data show that it really was probably okay, but was it really okay? We don't know. Not worth it. But American College of OBGYN, ACOG, which is our kind of like governing college and body, they clearly say that for acne, for example, benzoyl peroxide, salicylic acid, azelaic acid, and glycolic acid, I believe those are the four that they say topically are fine. So if a patient said to me, well, can't I just use my Retin-A, my topical Retin-A? I would say, you're probably fine, but like, is it really worth it? And if God forbid something comes up, you're going to question it. So forget me covering my ass. It's not worth it for you psychologically. Use something else during pregnancy.
Okay. Well, here in New York City, Dr. Ghofrani, the people on retinoids of the age group that are getting pregnant seem to be much older than the acne retinoid people. They're already on retinoids for anti-aging. So right. Say you're 35 and you're taking...
Which is all of our patients. Yeah.
You have a retinoid cream for anti-aging. That also should be stopped because it is not necessary during pregnancy.
I will tell you that we are not your doctors here today. You should ask your doctors. I will punt to your doctors 100%. Out there.
This is not medical advice, everyone. We just happen to have a doctor on. She's not talking to you specifically.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking in general. If someone said to me, I really love my topical Retin-A and I don't want to give it up, I would say the data seems to show that topical is really not absorbed. It is not the same as oral. It's not like taking Accutane. You'd probably be fine. But at the same time, is it worth you even questioning it for a second? And I will tell you that most patients are like, all right, forget it. I don't want it. Then you're probably right. I won't.
It's 10 months. You're not going to set back your...
Right. Your skin's not going to... Yeah. If someone said, I really want to take it, if they were my patient and I felt that they were not litigious, I would say, I think it's probably not going to cause harm as long as you accept that the answer is, we don't really know.
Now, what about all these... I mean, skincare now is like you need a medical degree to understand it. You mentioned salicylic acid, but there's so many other actives when you go to a Sephora and look at the labels. Is she meant to be questioning every single one if she's pregnant? Like other active ingredients? Should she go back to like the mildest non-active skincare routine, like Cetaphil and some Vaseline, call it a day?
Well, I mean, this goes back to not just pregnancy, but in general, like I, as we talked about before, I'm like a huge skincare, like I love skincare. And I am definitely of the erroneous more is more mindset, right? Like, oh, if this acid is going to make my pores good, I'm going to slather 10 different ones. And that's really not great for me. Like I actually need to give my skin a break and I need to like worry about the skin barrier. So we have two different things going on. One is it harmful to the fetus, to the baby? And the second is it good for us in general? I would venture to say that the majority of topical things are not going to directly harm the baby, right? Because you're just not absorbing that much of it into your circulation that's then crossing the placenta. So that's one thing. But is it good for our skin? And listen, when we look at our lifespan with all the things that we are being exposed to that we can't even quantify, do I think it's probably best to like limit some of them? I'd say probably yes. Now, do I? No, because I like to try all these products. So it's a little bit more of a philosophical thing. And the other aspect of this is I think that women get really anxious nowadays because they are told this bill of lies about clean beauty. I don't know how you feel about the term clean beauty.
I was going to bring that. You don't know how many founders I've interviewed that made a clean beauty company. And they were like, well, when I was pregnant, I started looking. And that's when they decided, like, I need clean beauty, quote unquote, which actually means nothing.
Nothing.
What's your take on it?
My take on it is a, and I say this with all the love for any company who's using the term clean beauty, many of whose products I probably used. But not because they said clean. I think it is a way to capitalize on people's anxiety at a time where they are feeling weak and vulnerable and willing to actually throw their money at something. So if it says clean, it must be good. If it says organic food, it must be good. If you're in menopause, which we haven't even gone to yet, and you sell me a supplement that you claim is going to make me feel better, I'm going to buy it. And I think that's really unfair and very nefarious. I think that if there's something really proven, okay, but the word clean, you and I both know, doesn't even have any actual objective characteristics. And it is fraught with judgment, right? Because it implies that anything that's not labeled as clean, it's like in the STI world, when women will say like, oh, I hooked up with this guy and he's clean or I'm clean. And I really make it very clear to my patients, they should never use the term clean when it comes to STIs, because the opposite of clean means you're dirty. And having an STI does not make you dirty. It means you've had sex and maybe you did not use protection. That is all it means.
Yeah, we're moralizing health.
Absolutely.
When we do that.
Right? And that is fraught with judgment, and that is not good for anyone, especially women. And the truth is, I say this a lot, there are a lot of aspects of medicine, of alternative medicine, of skincare, of organic products that claim to empower people. And I always say it is anti-feminism cloaked as female empowerment. Empower yourself and you can buy this supplement, this clean beauty brand. And the truth is, it is literally just marketing, as you and I know. And I love marketing because I am like one of those like shiny object, let me look at it. But I think we have to be clear about why we're buying something. If I'm buying it because I just like it, fine. But if I'm buying it because I think it's clean and therefore it's going to elevate my capability of being healthy or like taking care of my baby, that is really unfair from a marketing perspective because it's just not true. There's no real way that they can prove that.
You bring up an interesting point about the anxiety. You're right. At being pregnant or going through menopause or even when you first get your period, you're vulnerable at that time in life. So I understand it. Speaking to that pregnant time, to just continue talking about that, what about injectables like Botox? Like when I do the Botox, I have to sign that I'm not pregnant, and also with fillers.
Yeah. And the truth is, again, there's no data saying it's harmful.
We just don't know.
I'll tell you very clearly. There's a medical legal reason for that one. Because we don't have data saying that it's safe, nor do I think we ever will. Could we collect retrospective data? Probably, because the fact is there are enough women who have done it, who maybe don't want to disclose they've done it, but they have, who have not had, I venture to guess, they have not had harm to their fetuses. There could be retrospective data, but they're having you sign that for medical legal reasons. And I don't blame them, by the way. Like I always joke with the populace, you cannot retain the right to sue doctors and then be upset if they cover their ass. This is the world we created in America, right? So they're going to continue to have you sign that. If someone, again, came to me and said, I absolutely want to do my Botox during pregnancy, what would you say? I would say, listen, if you were my sister, I always use my sister as the example, I would not tell her to use Botox during pregnancy. Not because I necessarily think there's harm. Clearly, we don't think it gets into the circulation. If it did, we wouldn't allow for a neurotoxin to be injected into your skin, right? So if it doesn't get into your circulation, then it shouldn't affect the fetus. But I wouldn't have her use it because there's enough reasons why we blame ourselves as women, right? Why would we add that to like, Johnny doesn't get an A+, and now you're going to be like, oh, Jesus, it was because of the Botox, or I didn't take my prenatal vitamins, or who knows what, right?
Yeah. I get why people ask, though, because just signing that, you assume I'm signing this because they know it's bad for me. And then you never really, nobody has the time to explain, this is a legal reason, however, out of abundance of caution. I think it's really good that we are making that clear here.
Right. We just don't have data. So that doesn't mean I would use it, but we don't have data.
Summer is fast approaching, which means it's shapewear season. Just kidding. It's really wedding season. But I just got an invitation to a wedding in Philadelphia, and guess what I'll be wearing? Honey Love. I'm not sure about the rest of the outfit or the dress, but the shapewear is going to be Honey Love. Here's why. Honey Love has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating when you're wearing shapewear. Plus, they have lingerie-inspired design details that you'll want to show off, and all their fabrics are breathable to keep you nice and cool, which is perfect for hot days. Let me tell you a story. I remember being at a wedding, this was a few years ago, pre-Honey Love, and I wore a jumpsuit, and I wasn't sure if the bathroom door locked well, but I had to take off the entire jumpsuit and then roll down the shapewear to pee, and I was like holding onto the back of the door at the same time, completely naked in the bathroom, and it took so long, and I caused this whole backup of the bathroom line, and after that, I was like, never again. Until Honey Love came along. Honey Love's superpower shorts have a 100% cotton gusset, so you don't have to wear underwear underneath. And there's a convenient opening in the underwear area, so you don't have to take off the whole thing to go to the bathroom. It's so easy. Honey Love products make you look good and feel good. Whether it's for a wedding, event, an everyday boost of confidence, Honey Love is the perfect plus one. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. That's honeylove.com/mascara. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off. The summer vibes are just getting started, so shape your life with Honey Love. Hey everyone, it's Jen, and I have decided this is going to be the summer of uniform dressing. I'm going to have a few pieces on heavy rotation, and I'm telling you right now, they're all going to be linen, and they're all going to be from Quince. I don't know why I'm going so hard on linen right now, but it just feels right. And Quince specializes in timeless pieces made of premium fabric, and the best part is that all the Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. I am personally very into the 100% European linen pants. They're cropped and easy. There's even a cute pinstriped version. And when I wear them, I look like I just stepped off a yacht. Do I have a yacht? No. Do I know what yachters wear? No, but that's the vibe. The linen pants come in sizes extra small to 3X, and they're less than $40. Okay, like 10 cents less. They're $39.90. But the quality is excellent, and they wash really well. How does Quince do it? They cut out the cost of the middleman and pass the savings on to us. Plus, Quince works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/fatmascara for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com, Q-U-I-N-C-E, quince.com/fatmascara to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/fatmascara.
Okay, everyone, I am one of those people who, when it comes to wellness, sorry, but it's got to fit into the pockets of my day. 5 minutes here, 7 minutes there, when I'm like in the kitchen and I'm microwaving something long, it's got to be convenient. And that is why Alo Moves works for me. My mindset has changed. The app makes it easy for me to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place and bite-sized little bits. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, so much more. From beginner to advanced, Alo Moves has the flow or class that's going to fit into your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what you're feeling that day.
You know what feeling I'm feeling most days? I'm feeling 10 minutes. I've been doing Joanna Thompson's. Right, that's about it.
Yeah, that's good.
10 minutes. Joanna Thompson does these yoga lattes in 10. One day will be abs. One day will be arms. Today, Jess, is booty day. And we're just going to get it done all in 10 minutes. If you're trying to get a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like the sweat-inducing yoga flows or the reformer Pilates workouts without weights. You can also find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, learn to do dry brushing. How many times have we talked about dry brushing on this podcast? Alo Moves will teach you how to do it.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use the code MASCARA20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. alomoves.com, code MASCARA20.
Here's another thing I get from people who are pregnant all the time, stretch marks. And how many companies have built their product as like, you won't get stretch marks or the stretch marks will
coconut
go away.
Oil. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about then two things with pregnancy. One, let's talk about about stretch marks. And then let's circle back and talk about hair and prenatal.
That was my next question.
Okay,
yes,
good.
Hit them both. Okay. Let me hear it.
So stretch marks. Patients say to me all the time, I didn't get stretch marks. And I'm sure it's because I bought this very expensive cream or because I used coconut oil every day. What I say all the time is, have at the coconut oil. And by the way, if you can afford whatever expensive cream you want and it makes you feel good, I am truly in support of that. But let's recognize what has helped you. Moisturizing your skin makes it feel more elastic, makes it feel less dry, which means you're probably going to scratch it less because as your skin is growing, whether or not you get stretch marks, it might feel itchy. And if you scratch it, then you might scar it. But if you're going to get stretch marks, it's mostly genetically predetermined. We inherit that type of skin and the collagen and elastin and all the fibers that can kind of break apart, which is what is happening with stretch marks, essentially. I'm not a dermatologist, but that's kind of what's happening. That is genetically predetermined. Like you inherit that from, we say your mom, but it could be your mother or your father.
But any moisture is good for like the feel-good aspect of it. So it's not itchy and...
Exactly.
But it's not more elastic.
Right. It's not stopping. Now, might it decrease the appearance? And after you're done with the pregnancy, some of these stretch mark creams, I do think probably can like help that really bright red look of it. But a lot of that bright red look of those stretch marks is going to go
depending
away over
on
time
your skin
anyway.
Tone. Yeah. Their color, I guess, is different depending on your skin tone. Okay. Hair, you wanted to get into it. So when you mentioned this, and I'll I'll go back to it. You said, oh, when you're not losing as much hair during pregnancy. And I was like, oh, so you mean it's not growing more? I'm just not losing more.
So you know that our hair is in different phases, right?
Right.
It's always growing and shedding and growing and shedding. But ideally, you're growing and shedding at somewhat the same pace.
I feel like there's a word, effluvial or something effluvium. In there that I remember from.
Effluvium, it means flood. So during pregnancy, all the hair arrests in the same phase. And then typically about anywhere from like 6 to 12 weeks or even 3 to 6 months after the pregnancy is done, you will have telogen effluvium, which means all the hair is flooding out at the same phase. So I remember after my first, I got to 3 months, I got my hair cut. I said to my hair lady, I didn't lose my hair. I'm so lucky. And she knew more than I did. And she said, because I had only been a doctor 5 years at that point and 1 year out of residency. And she said, it might still happen. And I was like, she doesn't know what she's talking about. And guess what? 2 weeks later, flood of hair loss. And if you've had it, you know what I'm talking about. You're sure that you're going to go bald. All your hair falls out at the same time. And then it takes 3 to 6 months for the hair to kind of get into different phases. That's why we get those little baby hairs. Same thing, frankly, like when I went through chemo 8 years ago, my hair all fell out pretty much the same time. But then my lashes grew back pretty quickly after chemo. But all of a sudden, 3 months later, they all fell out again. And it was the same reason. They hadn't yet gotten into that staggered phase. Now, women think it's because of their prenatal vitamins, but it has nothing to do with the vitamins. And so women will say to me outside of pregnancy, should I take prenatal vitamins? Because then my hair is going to be really thick and shiny. And I'm always like, listen, if you like prenatal vitamins, take them.
I mean, that's why folic acid and biotin, people think helps with your hair, like it's connected to pregnancy. Yeah. Is there a biological reason your body's holding onto all that hair during pregnancy?
Such a good reason that no one's been able to figure out. Like there's, you know, there's a lot of skin and hair changes. So we grow a little extra hair. Sometimes we get the fuzzy hair on our cheeks and chin and on our belly, that vellus hair. And we don't lose hair on our head. And there's no good reason that we know from evolution that anyone's ever come up with that I've been able to find. The same thing we say theoretically, you know how you get skin changes, like you've heard of melasma or what we call the mask of pregnancy, the dark spots here, the line on our belly, which is called the linea nigra, and then the darker nipples. What would be the reason for that? Some people claim because it's in the wild, then maybe people are more able to know that you're pregnant. But I still don't get why that matters. Why does it matter if back in the millennia ago, people knew that you were the pregnant person? So there really don't seem to be great reasons from the evolutionary perspective that I know of.
Yeah. It might just be tied to something else that's happening with your body. And that's the side effect Jess was telling me about. You know, obviously the chemical messengers that help everything spread, that help your pelvis open up so you can have baby, your teeth move and they shift around. This was a one that was like very interesting to some of my friends. Like their teeth got all crooked during pregnancy because they were getting like looser. That's true, right?
And their gums bleed more.
Yeah.
When you get more vascular, your gums can bleed. Everything kind of shifts. Your feet can get bigger. It has to do with the ligaments and the progesterone softening a lot of the ligaments. And that can be like what attaches things in our body. Not that our teeth are attached by ligaments, but all of these things can soften a little bit. I mean, if anyone's been through pregnancy listening, they know it is a crazy time. Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to later in life. We've had some babies, maybe. I mean, this is a hypothetical woman and we're just going on her life's journey with her. Perimenopause, after pregnancy, around what age? I literally wrote the word childbearing and then I like could not stop laughing. Like, but when a woman's childbearing years are up, which, how should I say that?
The way I like to refer to it is just our reproductive years, which I still don't
reproductive
even,
years.
I don't even
there
love that, by the way, because it seems as if we are defined by reproduction.
That's why I didn't like childbearing. I was like, that just implies that I'm here to have babies.
But we have to use something to imply that stretch of our lives, which is typically, let's say, around age 12-ish up until around age 51-ish, where we are potentially ovulating. Not that ovulation only needs to occur for reproduction.
So this age of around 51-ish, or what age would someone start to see some other changes in their appearance due to further hormonal shifts?
Well, before 51, because you might remember from our dinner talk about when we talked about that cream, Emipel, what happens is that let's start from the beginning and then go backward. 51 is the age at which the average woman will have finished having her period for at least a year. Because when you're done with your period for at least a year, that defines that moment in time that we call menopause.
Got it.
Do you remember us talking about the fact that we erroneously will refer to menopause as the whole time that you're going through changes, but really it's technically that one moment where you've had a year with no period, and again, on average at 51. But the normal span of time where a woman might go through menopause, again, meaning finishing her period, is 45 to 55. And we can have perimenopause, which means that time where your hormones are starting to fluctuate, but you're still getting your period potentially. It might be erratic. It might not. You're getting a whole host of other symptoms, which we'll talk about, including skin and hair changes. That can last up to 10 years. So if you do the math, women can start going through perimenopausal changes, which are considered normal, as early as 35 to 40. So in their mid to late 30s, many of the times, they're actually still having babies potentially, but also perimenopausal changes, which they're not really recognizing because 99% of the time, they or their doctors or people around them are like, oh, you're just schwitzy and hot because you just had a baby, or oh, your hair is different because you just had everything we relate to just having a baby, when in reality, it's sometimes perimenopause. It wouldn't change our management, but it's a good thing to know because I think many women, as you know, because we discussed it, don't know these things. So mid to late 30s, early 40s, you might start having fluctuations. They could be as subtle as my period is normal, but I'm like, again, schwitzier at night. My skin is going through changes. Like I remember at 40, I had just had my last baby at almost 41 and I got the wickedest chin acne, like bad chin acne. And I was a new mother who was also perimenopausal. And I was going through these fluctuations. My mood was getting ragey right before my period. Like I wanted to bludgeon people. I was still getting regular periods, but I was perimenopausal.
Did you get that chin hair too?
I get the singular neck hair.
Tell me about this chin hair. This is like the chin hair. Just if you're listening and you hit like, I'm going to say 33, between 33 and 53, you're going to get the chin hair.
Yeah,
you might get it. You are going to get the chin. It will be at least one and probably more. What is up with
that? And the irony is that you get, like I joke, a little more hair on your chin, a little less hair on your head, a little more weight around your middle, and maybe that big chin zit. And all of it has to do, full circle, remember we talked about androgens.
Okay, what's going on with the androgens?
Yeah, so when you're going through this perimenopause, menopause, remember we talked about, we always have testosterone, we always have estrogen. And testosterone is the main androgen. But the way the hormones work and through certain things like certain enzyme changes, you kind of get an overabundance, if you will, of how the androgen is working. So you'll get more of what we typically will refer to as the male things. Like, think about men get more hair on their chin. Men get more weight around their middle. Men get less hair on their head. Because testosterone, depending on where it works in your body, which receptors, it can behave differently. So it acts differently on the hair receptors on your head by making you have less hair than the hair receptors like on your chin or your pubic region. You'll get more hair in those places. So it's so frustrating.
It's so funny. Beauty companies like to talk to us. You know how big it's so hot right now, menopause, perimenopause with beauty brands, but they're always talking about estrogens decreasing. I think because marketing wise, it's not sexy to talk about, just kidding, your androgen and testosterone is pumping up. But like, it sounds like some of the more interesting appearance effects you might get are actually because of the androgen situation than the dropping estrogen.
I would say it's both and they're different.
Okay, what else will happen?
So because you get the androgen excess in theory. And it's not that your testosterone is going up, it's that the way your testosterone is behaving.
Right. Giving you these male-ish kind of things.
Right, you might need to go back to some of those things that maybe the younger generation needed to do for acne. And that's where things like azelaic acid didn't even exist when I was a teenager having acne, but now there's azelaic acid and all these other things you can do for acne, right?
Or learn how to shave your chin hair.
Or learn how to pluck. And I would pluck your chin hairs personally if there's just a few. Just because if you shave, they seem to grow back at that thick root. But then on the flip side, you do get these estrogen deficient skin changes, which are very significant. I mean, not even counting all the important parts of our body that are affected by estrogen, which is outside of the scope of today. But skin, it's less elastic. You know this probably better than I do as someone who's dealt with skin. You start to lose collagen like in your 30s. And that a lot of that is also because the loss of estrogen over time. We lose collagen. We lose the ability for our cells to secrete hyaluronic acid. And so really, really being estrogen deficient not only affects so many parts of our body that are needed for long-term health, but absolutely affect our skin, which is why when we talk about vagina and vulva, our vagina and vulva is very sensitive to the estrogen. This is why every woman or person with a vulva should know that vaginal estrogen in the form of a cream or a suppository or a ring is very safe, very effective, even if you've had breast cancer that was estrogen receptor positive, and really helps the vagina and the vulva become more elastic, which decreases pain during sex, decreases like urinary tract infections.
We're talking about a prescription estrogen drug that you would apply there.
Yes.
Okay, so this is the thing. I've heard about people who have the prescription or it was compounded or whatever. They put it on their vulva. It was working for them. So they started putting it on their face. And now companies are starting to sell it that way.
Yes. And let me tell you, without exaggeration, 15 years ago, one of my patients and I, she was a chemical formulator. And I remember delivering her baby. I remember the room we were in. And I was like, you know, I think that we should create a combination retinol estrogen cream product for our eyelids and our skin. And she was like, let's do it. And we kind of jokingly talked about it and we never did it. And guess what? Just like you said, now there are companies who are selling topical estriol instead of estradiol, which is the formulation that we would use either orally or on the patch or vaginally. They're formulating estriol because on the skin, you can use it and it very weakly binds. So you really, really get no systemic absorption, even less than estradiol cream. So the companies who are selling it now are using estriol, but you could use estradiol.
And these are ones that you'll see a doctor through the internet, or maybe you went to your doctor and got it, because estriol is still also a prescription, correct?
It's a prescription. And I think I'm accurate when I say this. There's no like commercial formulation that insurance will cover like at CVS or at any commercial pharmacy, I should say. You'd either have to get it from a compounding pharmacy or from one of these online companies, like you've talked about, who sell their own proprietary estriol cream.
I'll put some links for people because I know some of the brands that are doing that. But yes, to get back to, so our estrogen's dropping. If we're not on a prescription like an estriol or an estrogen cream down there, is there anything else you can do for this lack of estrogen in your skin?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think that I'm right. And again, I'm not a dermatologist or an esthetician, but when I say that pretty much all people should be using retinols, which are ALs, right, are so potent for our skin and so valuable, and vitamin C. So those two products will help throughout your whole lifespan, certainly when you're perimenopausal and menopausal. And now there's a lot of interesting new products. Like I really do love, I mean, we keep joking, but the way we met was because of Emipel. Emipel has this MEP, it's a very specific compound that is not an estrogen, but it has estrogen-like properties with the way it affects the topical layer of the skin. And so it really does help with elasticity. So I think that's, frankly, a great product. And I say that.
Have you used it?
Oh, I used it before I knew the people of the company, meaning I had heard about it. Like I said, I'm willing to try anything. And it's a pretty thick, heavy night cream. So it's a regular cream, but I put it on at night, like my last thing I put on at night. So there are a couple products I really love that we could always talk about.
Like slather it on. The minute this estrogen starts dropping, we need to be like laying it on.
I actually really do think that estriol is also great to use. Like I use a few different products. I would use Emipel. I would use estriol. Are we talking about brands? Because I could tell you the other brands that I really like.
Yes, I'm curious. Go ahead.
Have you heard of OneSkin?
Tell me.
I love OneSkin. If they are listening, I love you all. It's four female PhDs from Brazil, which I also just like that concept. But it's truly very like, there's a lot of science behind their product that it helps the cells secrete more hyaluronic acid and collagen.
And you just told me, we know that chronologically, as we get older, those things slow down in all genders, right? But like the lack of estrogen is also part of the reason those things are.
Estrogen is what allows the elasticity. So something that I think we touched upon when you and I first met, I have like an allergic reaction when people say vaginal dryness because I think it's not accurate. It's not just that our skin is dry. If it was just dry, merely moisturizing it would help. It's that it becomes inelastic. But vaginal inelasticity is too cumbersome a term. So we default to vaginal dryness because we have to speak quickly, right? But when you think about it that way, you'll recognize why our skin on our face, our eyelids, our neck, and our vulva and our vagina are not dry. They are inelastic. And so you might need a few different products to actually help the skin on your face, like I like to use vitamin C and retinol and Emipel and OneSkin and a few different products. And in my vagina and vulva, I use not only vaginal estrogen, but also vaginal hyaluronic acid, this brand called Reverie. That helps retain moisture.
It's a cream you put in your vagina or on your vulva?
That happens to be a hyaluronic acid suppository, but they also sell hyaluronic acid. Other brands have gels or creams. And that retains moisture, as you know, right? Hyaluronic acid is really potent at helping tissue retain moisture. So it works different than, for example, a lubricant, which kind of sits on the top surface of the skin, right? So there are different ways all of these products interact with the skin on our face and the skin in our vulva and our vagina.
See, now I didn't know we were supposed to be going inside. Talk to me about these feminine care brands with the big quotes around feminine care, because it's like such a crazy, crazy industry.
Well, just like we talked about, when you're pregnant, you're anxious and nervous, you're like, I'll buy anything that's going to make me safe and whatever. When you're going through perimenopause and when you're a woman in general, think about it. We are told that everything about our female reproductive tract is all at once, like we revere motherhood, which is BS. We know what's going on in the world right now with reproductive rights. But at the same time, hush, hush, don't talk about your period and your vagina smells, right? It's like such a bizarre dichotomy.
Or the fact that you could put hyaluronic acid suppositories. That one was new to me.
Right.
Okay, keep going.
So given all that, there is this cash grab of people who are trying to convince us that we need our vagina and our vulva to like be scrubbed and washed and cleansed. And then we need to use products to make it smell good. So let me be very clear. I do not endorse or condone any of these products that expect you or tell you that you can or should. Certainly, you don't need to wash anything in your vagina. You shouldn't, because you will throw off the microbiome, which is that balance, the pH, where you really need it to kind of keep everything in check. So you do not want to wash or put anything in your vagina just for the sake of like keeping it clean, quote unquote, because it's already clean. Your external vulva, most people really, really could just get away with water. But if they feel sensitive that they want to do something, I would personally endorse just, and again, I've never been paid by Dove, but I would, because I think Dove bar of soap, because they're decreasing the landfill. You had that great episode where you talked about all of the products that go into the landfill. Dove bar of soap is a bar, which means there's very little packaging. It's just a cardboard box and it's very gentle and moisturizing. It's not even soap. It's Syndet, they call it. It's not even, you know, do you know that?
Yes. Oh my God. This is why we're going to be friends, because you know what a Syndet is. Soap has like lye and
fatty.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes. So I would say if someone really felt like they need to use something on the external vulva, not the internal vagina, gently Dove, not the bottles of Dove, not the body washes, not the vaginal vulvar washes. Save your money, save the landfill. You don't need it. And there could potentially be harm, because they will strip all of that tissue of what it really needs. You need some moisture down there. You kind of probably need some hair follicles. We didn't even get into grooming. So much to discuss. So I think that a lot of these products really prey on, oh my gosh, women and people with vulvas are insecure because they've been told that their vagina and their vulva smells. And therefore, we should make it smell good and fresh and like a daisy. And that is not true.
But we get a lot of the marketing terms now are pH balance.
Right. But here's the truth. It's all kind of baloney, right? So that might be pH balance in a lab, but that doesn't mean it's going to balance the pH of inside your vagina. Certainly it's not.
Especially because you're not, they all say very clearly, like, don't put it inside. It's just for washing the outside. So like, I'm sort of like, well, why does it matter then?
Well, exactly. But also what's very misleading is some of these products will say that they're only for external use, but they'll throw the word vagina in there. Like there's one very famous company I will not name. And one of their main products was Oh My Vag. Or Vag of Honor, I think. And yet it was made for only the external.
Should be on my vulve.
Exactly.
Yeah. Doesn't have the same ring, Dr.
It
Gofrani.
Doesn't have the same ring, but it's all about the V. But now getting back to hyaluronic acid inside or estrogen suppositories or estrogen cream inside, that's different. Now we're talking about treatment for estrogen deficient tissue, which becomes inelastic. And that happens either during perimenopause and menopause or when you're lactation. So if you're breastfeeding or lactating, you get suppression of ovulation. So your estrogen levels are low. That's why when you just had your baby, if you decide to lactate, you don't want to have sex. Your vagina and vulva would hurt if you had sex and you have hot flashes at night. The third time is prolonged contraception. So if you've been on the birth control pill or patch or the hormone contraceptions for a long time, it also can make your vulva and vagina less elastic. So even young women, 25, nowhere close to having a baby, nowhere close to perimenopause, been on the pill for a long time. And so during those times, those people with vulvas and vaginas could use hyaluronic acid inserts or estrogen creams or suppositories.
Got it. I was just thinking, if somebody's listening and they do like to make, they do like these products for whatever reason, they're being safe about it, it's just going on the vulva, are you going to like be mad at them or shame them? Like, are they okay to use if they make you feel good? You don't shame anybody, but you know what I mean.
I really try hard. And by the way, I'm sure that sometimes the way I talk does shame people without me meaning to. My intent is not to shame. My intent is to say, if there's no harm and you want to use something and you can afford it, then again, have at it. I won't name a name, but there is a particular green powder that is very popular and it's very overpriced and expensive. And I happen to like it. Do I buy it and then talk about it and try to encourage people to purchase it because it's going to create all of the things that the company...
supplement, guys.
Yeah, right. Is it going to achieve what the company claims it's going to achieve? I actually really doubt it. I don't think it is, but I like the taste. I don't mind it. I happen to be able to afford
it. Got some vitamins. Yeah.
Right. It's a beautiful, earthy color. So I want us to be really clear. Like, I don't think it's wrong to do this. If it's not going to harm and you can afford it, okay. Now, listen, we all buy a lot of products and I'm guilty of buying a lot of products, but it really does add to the landfill. These body washes and vaginal and vulvar washes, they really are unnecessary. And while we say they aren't harmful, the truth is some people then end up overwashing and then they end up getting irritation on the external vulva, even if they're not getting anything on the inside.
Oh, yeah, there's a bidet bar now. Mega Babe has a bidet bar for your butthole. Did you know that?
I did not know that, but that's... I got to look into that. That's different. Your butthole is a little bit different.
Yeah. Also, and say you just had a baby and your butt's all stretched out, got some hemorrhoids, whatever. That's why she made it. So that wasn't just for the babies, but
right.
Just for...
And that's appropriate.
Wow. I just took it there, guys. I took it there.
Which is interesting. Your butthole is different. I would not bleach your butthole. We didn't go there yet. We got a lot. There's a lot we could talk about.
Oh, that's come up on the podcast before. You don't think that's healthy for that skin, the...
I would venture to say, and I'm not a proctologist, but I would bet they would say that that skin is pretty delicate.
You see that a lot. You see them a lot, though.
That skin is pretty delicate. And yeah. I also will say this. Let me just say this, and I say this a lot to my young patients. When my patients come in and say, I'm so self-conscious about my vulva, I feel like my labia are too big, I feel like it doesn't look pretty, or now that I'm older, it's stretched out. I say this, and I think I'm correct. Anyone who is looking down there outside of your gynecologist is going to be someone that you're in a sexual relationship for, with whether it's a man or a woman, you're in a sexual relationship with them. I venture to guess that they are just happy to be there, that they are not looking and being like, I really love this person, but God, their labia are really flaccid or wrinkly. Like, I just don't think. In other words, yes, if you really want to do it for your own reasons, do it. But this all speaks to women and how much we are preyed upon, not just by men, by the way, by each other as well, and made to feel bad about things that I feel like we shouldn't. So that's my big beef with this whole feminine care, quote unquote. It's just, again, it's a cash grab, preying on our desire to like look prettier and smell better. We're all going to give into it a little bit, right? Like, I'm 54 and I don't want to look 54 and I want to look younger and I want to slather estrogen on my face and Amapel and all these things to look younger.
Yeah. As we're wrapping up here, I'm curious, what do you wish more women knew about how they feel about their looks as it's related to their gynecological health?
Oh.
Or just what you wish they knew? Yeah, on the topics that we've been talking about.
Well, I'm going to answer two prongs. I wish women just knew more about their OBGYN health, and it is not their fault. I mean, I say this all the time. The great equalizer, and I put great in quotes because, as I say, it's not actually great, but the great equalizer among all women, regardless of demographic, is that they don't learn about their OBGYN health. They don't learn it from their mothers, their sisters, their teachers. And frankly, they don't even learn it from their OBGYNs, not because their OBGYNs don't care, but they don't have time because you only get 15 to 20 minutes unless you stop taking insurance. Hence the reason, shameless plug, we started our company called Tribe Called V, our online platform, which we are actively growing and scaling and actually rebranding, because I do want women to learn their OBGYN health so that they feel more confident and then they can go to their doctor and have a more impactful relationship because they don't feel blown off. And then their doctor doesn't have to take that 20 minutes to teach them, but can actually, they can start out kind of at a higher level.
Like, you listen to this podcast for a baseline beauty knowledge.
Right.
You go to the Tribe Called V for baseline OBGYN knowledge. So then you'll know what questions to ask.
But I do wish that all of us, unrelated to our gynecological health, but, you know, I always laugh that when people take a group picture, like let's say we took a picture when we were all together that night, and sometimes my friends will be like, can you show me the picture before you're going to post it? And I always joke like, I will show it to you, but let me just be clear. Look at what we all do. If you showed me the group picture, what would I do? I would zero in only on myself.
Oh, yeah, I don't care what you look like.
So that's the point. None of us actually care what the other person looks like that much.
Which means no one's looking at you, so you shouldn't care. They're looking at themselves.
Exactly. So I
Yeah, but when we look at the photo, we want to like what we look like in the photo.
Right, but it's hilarious because
there could be a damn elephant next to me in the photo. I'm not looking at the elephant. I'm just checking out, you know, does my one eye look bigger than the other?
Right? Like, does my gaggly neck look really gaggly?
I just named my thing. I don't know if that was your real thing, but you don't need to worry about that. I'm not looking at your neck.
It's okay. It's there. Maybe one day it won't be. Surgically. We'll see.
Yeah. Was there anything I didn't ask you that I should have?
Oh, gosh, honey. Well, again, no joke. We could do a whole nother podcast on my thoughts and feelings about grooming.
Oh, yeah. Pubic hair is part two for sure.
Let's do
well,
it.
All body hair. Yeah.
Grooming and deodorant. We could do a whole thing about
oh,
that.
Oh, my God. Yes, because we didn't even get into that. And I do have questions about that. All right, before I let you go this time, because I think you're going to come back, maybe after Jess is here so she can meet you too.
Very
I think
good.
That she would have questions as well. Let's do the Fat Mascara 5. It's quick and easy. Do you remember what's the first beauty product you like fell in love with that you loved using? I know you love skincare, but what was it?
Oh my God, I can tell you too. Okay, I loved Wet n Wild. Do you remember Wet n Wild?
That's a whole brand. What from Wet n Wild?
It was 99 cents. It was number 212. It was a frosty, shimmery pink lipstick.
Wow. I remember it. It didn't have a good bullet. The bullet was like the same shape on both sides. It looked like a tampon.
Yes. It was. It didn't have like a flatter on one side, but it was 99 cents. So I could have a bunch of them. It was very frosty shade. We loved it. The second thing I loved, and I have told my daughter about this, that we didn't get manicures back in the day. I was born in 1970, right? Your best bet was doing your own nails. And Revlon in 1982 came out with a yellow nail polish. And I would do my own nails. I would literally, like, every week I'd have a different color. So I had my yellow. I'm going to give you a third thing because you're going to remember. Oh, well, you're younger than me, but I think you're going to remember. I had just graduated from college. It was probably 92 when Chanel came out with Vamp.
Oh,
I still have my original bottle of Vamp. Not that I use it. It's probably frozen. But my sister bought it for me. And even at the time, I think it was like $18 in 1992. It was expensive. And I was like, I was obsessed with Vogue and Elle. I remember reading about
Vamp. It
was the
Vamp. Pulp Fiction color. It was so cool.
So I bought it and I still have that bottle.
Okay. Speaking, I brought up movies, but if there was a movie of your life. Meanwhile, you mentioned chemotherapy and not having uterus. And I didn't want to get into that with everybody. So I know you've had cancer, health concerns, you have children, you became a doctor, you have a whole story. I was being rude, guys, by not asking. Like, I've heard her story outside of the podcast. So anyway, we'll get to that in part two of our podcast. But if there was a movie of your life, what actor would play you?
Demi Moore.
Yes. Love it. Moving on. Favorite snack?
Cheese. I mean, anything related to cheese.
Oh, I want to know, like, what kind of cheese? This is the hard question.
So if I were only going to buy one for the rest of my life, it would be some kind of cheddar. Like, there's one that Whole Foods sells called Robusto, and it's, like, cheddar-ish, but it's got, like, those little crystals in it.
Oh, like a very aged Gouda that I love it, where they get, like, the crystals. Yeah. That's good. Okay, what was the last thing you bought today? It could be anything, like, if I went in your credit card statement or on your phone or whatever.
Picked up my daughter from school. We went to Whole Foods and we had the hot bar and I got margarita mix and I got, what else did we buy? Margarita mix, hot bar. There were like three other
How
things.
How old's your
bought.
Daughter?
13. The margarita mix was
okay,
not for her.
She's not having the margaritas.
So. Oh, okay. I'll tell you, Castle Vetrano olives. And at their olive bar, they just started selling those little tiny red pepper drop. They're called like pepper drops. They're delicious.
Oh. And they're like pickly flavor.
Yeah, but you can like put them in a drink. You could put them in like in a dirty martini. So good.
Oh, that sounds so yummy. I want one of those right now.
They're so good. Yeah. Sweet drops, I think they're called, or little drops or something.
Like a piquillo pepper, a little red. Okay. Yeah. Got it. Wow. I'm getting off track. Okay. Last question. What do you need to get your beauty sleep? Whatever that question means to you.
I need my big wide satin eye mask. No joke. I have like three of them. It wraps all the way around. And I need my earplugs.
Oh, okay. You do a double, like dark and quiet.
Ever since I took pre-meds, every night I use earplugs. And if I'm somewhere where I've forgotten my eye mask, I have to put a washcloth like sitting over my face. I need the pressure against my eyes.
Oh, that sounds soothing. Dr. Gofrani, this was so educational, and I wasn't kidding. Later in the year, you'll come back and we'll talk about all the other weird body stuff. I'm not saying weird as a negative. I'm just saying weird as like, you know what I'm talking about, the things we're afraid to talk about usually, but we'll talk about them on the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on Fat Mascara.
Thank you for having me, Fat Mascara. I love it. Thanks, Jen.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us, or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com.
We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battled it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.